Ask the Podcast Coach for August 8th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it is Saturday. It's good to be back in the chair. Still recovering from podcast movement. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your questions answered live. We are here every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And joining me as always, my the jelly to my peanut butter, the Robin to my Batman, the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, Jim Cullison. How's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Great to have you back in the chair. And it was kind of fun to have control over everything, but it's not one of those things I want to do every Saturday. So I'm glad that you come back.
Hey, thanks to Mike Howard from JPEG to Raw last week for chiming in on the show. That was
Mike's just a great guy. He will do anything. I mean, I literally asked him on Friday night, hey, can you show up on Saturday morning just in case this with Dave goes south? Because we had no idea if it was actually going to work. You know, with you, we're like, I didn't know where you were going to be at. I didn't know how we're going to call in. Would you have connectivity? Would you be plugged in? Has the sound going to be okay? We might need to punt, you know? And so I got a hold of Mike on Friday night. Are you going to be around Saturday? He's like, yeah, I'm always around on Saturday. So thanks to Mike. He is my podcasting accountability guy. He's the guy I go to when I need something to test. And he's just always around for me. So Mike, thanks for being there.
Yeah. Last week I had tried to attempt to do a bunch of stuff from the hotel. And I was having all sorts of problems connecting to the, the website. I didn't really have a good connection, and so I ended up just putting a link at the top that said the show's over here at Jim's site. But in the process, I deleted like the Mixler stuff. I had, you know, so I'm not sure what kind of shape the page is. I put all the code back on the page, but I couldn't remember. Did I have video first, and then audio, and then the chat, or was it chat, video, audio?
I just threw it out there this morning. It's fine. There does seem to be a few issues with it. I think if you refresh your page, I'm out there looking at it right now. Video's working, audio's working. So if you're having trouble, you might need to close your browser, reopen it, something like that.
Something like that. But hey, if you want to call in, that's what we're here for. The number is, of course, 347-850-8007, 347-850-8007. And we were talking pre-show. I had an email this morning from somebody. I thought it was interesting that they said, hey, I've been podcasting for 7 months. I'm getting about 500 downloads, I believe they said, per episode. And but I feel it should be more. And so I have yet to get the response back because I emailed them back. I said, okay, why do you think it should be more? And what are you basing that on? And I thought it was an interesting question because the fun thing is, I forget what show I was listening to. But somebody talked to Tim Ferriss. I think it was Rob Walsh. If you go to podcastjunkies.com, Harry interviewed Rob Walsh from the VP of Podcast Relations at Libsyn. And at the 52-minute mark, Rob jumps. He drops a whole bunch of stats about how many downloads people are getting. And if you get 10,000 downloads, you're in the top blah, blah, blah percentage and things of that nature. But I think he said that Tim Ferriss called Rob and said, hey, how do I grow my audience? And I've just felt like going, it's Tim Ferriss. Come on. So I think we all want to have a bigger audience. Of course we do. That makes sense. I just thought it was interesting that he was saying it should be more. And I'm like, okay, based on, and I have no idea what his show's about. It's one of those things.
What his network is like, how many people are around him, what the connections are, you know, it's a great question. And I think we're going to see, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I think we're going to see more and more disillusioned podcasters who started in this bubble, who it's a very competitive time. And, you know, if you want to start a podcast, you're going to be up against a lot of people starting podcasts. Look at Podcast Movement. Look how many people were there. Dave, you mentioned, I think, somewhere along the lines, you're like, they asked somebody, raise your hand if you don't have a podcast. Yeah. And a lot of people, this is crazy, a lot of people at Podcast Movement don't even have a podcast. That's how big the hype cycle is right now. I mean, we are in the very peak of this podcasting hype cycle that's going on. And so I think we're going to have a lot of disillusioned ones who come back. You just got to, you got to outlive your, I mean, you got to keep at it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you just got to keep working at it. You never know when you're going to get a break.
Well, when I was talking with Ray, we did an episode of the Podcasters Roundtable the other night talking about hard decisions. And he was saying it was weird because at the sessions, which you kind of expect overlap, But he said, you know, we heard a lot about, know your audience, mm-hmm. you know, serve your audience, bring your passion, don't get in it for money. You know, I have a consulting call today, and that's the guy is wants to quit his day job. And I think he's on episode number 24. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's some work. I think I differ a little bit from you on the money thing. And I think you should get in it for the money.
Yeah.
But I think you need to use money as the carrot.
Yeah.
Right. Because a lot of people have a hard time staying with it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I agree. Don't get it in for the money, although you can.
Yeah.
Just have your expectations right. But use that as a motivating factor, a chip on your shoulder, a rabbit to chase, one of whatever those things, whatever that's going to be. Use that because that motivates me. I mean, I like to see how we can drive our Amazon affiliate link from month to month. And I know if I put a link out there somewhere, it can have an effect. And so I like keep that out there, dangle it, use it as a motivating factor. But if you're getting in it for the money, you better go in eyes wide open because you're starting a small business. That's what you're doing.
Exactly. And I was thinking about this, you know, there's so many, I was talking with somebody that they were going to do an interview show, and they said, and I said, great, why did you choose that format? And he goes, well, isn't that what everybody's doing? And I was like, wow, that's okay. If that's what you want to do, by all means. But, it was just interesting that everybody's doing. And the one thing I thought was interesting, the one person that talked about being unique in his keynote, John Lee Dumas. And I was like, okay, so he's not saying follow me and do what I do. You know, he was like, you know, be yourself and be unique. And I was like, all right, cool.
He did, right? Yeah. He was unique. Yeah. He came out daily. He's done a lot of things to be unique in that. And I think that's a really, really, really good message. I got a chance to be on Bill Conrad's show. We were talking about success tips. And I really still think when we think about success in podcasting, it's like getting a job. It's who you know that's important in podcasting. And so developing those friends and getting those referrals and, you know, doing the things that it takes to network and connect. If you think you're just going to start a podcast and you're going to blast that on iTunes and you're going to have 5,000 downloads because it's on iTunes or because it's on Podomatic or it's because it's on Stitcher, that never happens. That stuff people don't find you really that way. They find you by word of mouth. They find you by networking. They find you because a friend referred you. So you got to work those referral networks and you got to make sure that you have people talking about you to get it done. The stronger your referral networks, I mean, I mentioned this on Bill's show, you know, Jesus did this better than anybody else, right? He put 12 people around him and he poured his time into those 12 people. Find your 10 or 12 best audience listeners, your most engaged listeners, put 80% of your time into them and let them, because 12 people can reach better than one.
Right.
And so if you can create an evangelist out there in your community, and you get 12 or 15 or 20, whatever, then, I mean, there's no magic in the number 12, but you can exponentially grow your audience. You want to grow your audience, pour your time into people.
Well, that's it. I did an episode a while back, and it's not a sermon thing. I just said, well, here's a story that's still going on. Yeah. And I said, what did he do? He went to where his audience was.
Right.
And first, then he made friends with him.
Yes.
Then he told him the message. It was never like, hey, let me tell you about God. It was like, hey, tell me about you. So I was always like, that's where I got that from. I was like, it seems to be working. And I looked at other people. And I must say, this is why I love Daniel J. Lewis. He says, everyone wants to be unique, just like John Lee Dumas.
Yeah, there is a little bit of irony in in that whole conversation. Just be you when you do it. I just think there's a really important key in gathering this user base around you that you pour your time into. I think sometimes we just want to talk to people and not listen to them. And so I think it's really important you're hearing back.
That was one of the, I was clamoring yesterday like a fool, listening to all this, getting caught up on all the podcasts. Because again, with no Wi-Fi, my phone won't download podcasts. So I got home and it was like this, you know, tidal wave of stuff. And
deluge.
You can listen to the Mark Maron keynote from Podcast Movement. It's on the Wolf Den podcast. And somebody asked him, they said, wow, Mark, I think you're one of the best interviewers ever. You know, do you have any tips? And he goes, oh, yeah. And he goes, listen. And I think that was one of the keys. It's like, you know, we all try to interject and we want to do, and he's like, no, just, and he goes, if somebody's really giving you the gold, just listen, shut up. He goes, if somebody's starting to cry up, he goes, now normally your reaction is to jump in there and help. He goes, no, just, you know, if you want to hand him a tissue, that's cool, but that's great content. Let it go. And
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and Ray says out there, you know, he tries to give shout outs in episodes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about more talking to them. I'm talking about listening to them. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about getting on a Skype call with them and just having a conversation. If a listener reaches out to you via an email, say, hey, I'd love to talk about this. Can I call you back? Can we just have a phone conversation? You do not realize the impact of your voice when you call a listener and talk to them face to face. And so I think it's just one of those things that you've got to pick up the phone or Skype or Hangouts or whatever. Go one-on-one with some of these folks. That's the hustle. That's the legwork it takes to get some of these things done. Make them, you know, bring them on as guests, that kind of stuff.
Well, last week when I was, I did a thing for Steve Stewart. And he was telling me about, is it talk.to?
Yeah, I had a great, talk about connecting. And this happened from the other end to me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Steve Stewart interviewed you a couple weeks ago on a webcast. And before he did that, he was talking about this service called talk.to, talk.to. And I brought it up on the show last week when we were talking. I think after we hung up, you left, I brought it up saying, hey, I found this cool tool. It was from Steve Stewart. Actually, I think I thanked Steve Stewart for it. And so last night I'm sitting here and let's say what it is first. So talk.to is like a customer assistance plugin for your website. And so it's like a chat feature between the customer and you, the person on your site and you. It's one-to-one. It's not like a chat room, like Chatwing. I initially went to it hoping it would be, but it wasn't. And so I left it open. A little bit of code that you copy, you can put it in your WordPress. You don't even have to have a plugin. It works great. Put it on the pages that you want to have it visible in. And it's got all kinds of configurable options, talk.to. So I turned it on last night. So I've gotten into the habit when I'm sitting at my desk, I just turn it on. So it's available on my website. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv, look in the bottom right-hand corner, it says questions, ask Jim. And if you click on that, it creates this instant communication between me and you, right? A great way to interface with the people coming to your site. That's the point on that. But I got ring, 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 rings up. And it's like, I was like, hello, you know, and somebody says, hey, this is so-and-so, and we're talking. And then I find out through the midst of the conversation, it's the CEO of talk.to.
Really?
And he had found me somehow. They had heard the podcast, right, that we did last week. I don't know how. You put a link. They must be crawling for that, mm-hmm. right? You put a link in the show notes. Again, why show notes are super important and having your own website is super important.
Right.
This never would have happened if you wouldn't have had your own website, Dave. So that's why that's important. He listens to the podcast, goes to the show notes, sees it's at minute 30, goes to that point in the video and starts listening. Likes it so much, he contacts me back just to say thanks. Hey, thanks for mentioning us. I appreciate it. You know, blah, blah, blah. That kind of stuff. We have this great conversation. And he goes, I listened to the 30 minutes, but he goes, honestly, had me hooked. I went back and listened to the whole thing again from the very beginning because what you guys are doing is really cool. And so, I mean, think about that connection that we made, all those pieces that had to come together to make that connection happen. And it happened because one, I was available at the time. Two, he found me because I had a website. Three, you know, we made that instant connection together. So that was all of a sudden now that tool takes on kind of a different feeling for me because it's like, hey, I can connect with anyone hitting my site at any time if I invite a conversation. It's a great way to reach a listener.
And I haven't played with it yet, but they have an iOS device and I think an Android device.
Everything.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the only thing that makes me nervous about it is
it's free.
It's free. That makes me really, I'm like, cause I'm actually at the, in the middle of the month, I'm going to actually dump, and I shouldn't say dump. It's a great service. I've been using a thing called Rhino Support, and it has a live chat, and it has a knowledge base, so people can, you know, frequently ask questions, and it's got a ticketing system. So all three things, $17 a month, and so I played in the past with a thing called Fresh Desk that I've used for ticketing and a knowledge base. That way, if somebody says, hey, Dave, you know, how do I reset my password or whatever? I've got a lot of those frequently asked questions and I can just point them at that. And so, yeah, so I'm going to, you know, move back from the paid service to using Freshdesk and Talk because the thing I love about it, I can have like multiple websites or I can take one chat window and put it on all my it's crazy. The tools.
Because it's code. You can select which pages you want it on, which is kind of cool. Hey, I want it on my main site, but I don't want to put it on the... Right. You know, I don't want to put I've got two different. I have a different live page than I have a front page, and I've actually put code on both. So it's consistent across both. So it's very customizable. Dave, back to the pay thing. They're a very early in, I mean, this is a new service. Right. And even last night, as we were talking, they were rebooting servers, adding functionality, right? They haven't wanted to advertise a lot. They just kind of word of mouth, slowly getting out. They are working on in the next couple months some big offerings. And I think it'll be a freemium service that works like where the corporations buy this for because this is perfect for a corporate website.
Yeah.
And then they'll have a free version for us, for individuals to work it that way as well. So I think that's going to be their model going forward.
Hey, the wizard is with us. I was over at his site, Bill Conrad, the wizard. I'm like, he's the wizard. Wow, cool.
Gandalf.
That's right. Skype with call recorder versus Google Plus, which is better for interviews? I would say, boy, that's a toughie, because Skype has the weird Skype gurgling, but Google Plus has that insane compression. We were talking earlier.
It's getting better.
Yeah. So, if I had to pick one.
While you're thinking,
I don't know.
It's Hangouts for me, hands down, because I like the video, and I don't like the way the Skype video thing works on call recorder. That's a personal preference, by the way. Just depends what you like, and so I just like this format as opposed to the Skype one. I did that interview with Bill, and he used call recorder to get it done. That's fine. I've watched those. You can then upload them to Skype, and there's some things you can do with them. If you really want to get fancy, do it the way we talked about at the end of the show last week, as Mike Howard does it with vMix. That's a whole different way, right? Then you control everything on your end and you just pump that into Google Hangouts. And so he uses Skype with vMix to get the video and the audio. We covered that at the end of last week's Ask the Podcast Coach. So that's a really good way to do it. It's just more of a commitment.
Here's a great question. I get this all the time. I'm struggling getting rid of Hiss. Now, the problem is this is a hard one to answer without visual stuff. This is from, I really got to get new glasses. Amald, I think is how you pronounce that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I know I'm butchering your name. But first things first, you know, if you're using a mixer, my buddy Ray Ortega has a great video on how to basically you plug in the microphone and turn up the gain until it starts to clip and then crank it down to where it doesn't. That means you're getting a super signal going into it. But before you get to bass, treble, and mid, and the actual microphone going in is giving you just as much as you need without going too far. Then you have the channel volume. And this is how loud that microphone is. So if you're, you know, if you're really robust when you talk, you might not need to turn that up so much. But if you have somebody who talks like this on the microphone, you're going to have to turn their channel up really, really high to make it even. Hence, you are mixing the volume levels. And then you have the master volume. That is the overall mix of everything else you just mixed. And so what happens sometimes, and then there's another volume, your headphone volume. I've seen this cause problems. I'm deaf, so I always have my headphones cranking. And in theory, I could have the volume on my channel volume and my main volume really low because my headphone volume is so just jacked up. The minute I breathe on those knobs, it blows my head off. So you have to be careful with that. And then, of course, there's the how hard is your recording device, be it your computer or your, you know, if you're using a portable recorder, how high is it up? How hard is it listening? And so the bottom line is what I always tell people is, you know, get the microphone coming in. Put the channel volume somewhere in the middle. Put the main volume somewhere around zero because you don't want to go over zero. And then, you know, twiddle with your actual recording. And then what I do is I say, make a recording saying what you're doing. So like right now I would say, my channel volume is at 15. Jim is at 10. The iPad is at minus 40 and my main mix is at zero. Now then maybe, depending on the mixer, sometimes if you turn the main mix up, if it's a cheap mixer, you'll hear, right, you start to get hiss. So, okay, maybe it's better if I turn the main mix down and the channel volume up. And I would love to say there are best practices. Like, you don't want to have the channel volume louder than your main volume because that's called overdriving and you'll get distortion. You never want to go over zero. But I've had some mixers that I'm like, wow, logically this doesn't make any sense, but I vote with my ears and come up with something that sounds the best. So I don't know. Does that make any sense without visuals?
Oh, no, yeah, it does, only because I'm working it. I mean, I think what you say is, or what you're saying in this too, or best practice is isolate one channel at a time as you're building in. So add, go one way, get a listen, add some things in, get a listen, but test. We say this all the time. You have to constantly be testing. If you get new equipment, you need to test it. If you've changed your equipment, you need to test it. If you've changed anything, you need to test it. Hey, I start my shows an hour early every week just because I would rather be sitting around doing nothing than have something go wrong and not have the time to fix it. And so it's a habit, right? It's one of those things. I test everything, and we test stuff when we go live here. So you got to test.
Yeah. And that's Daniel J. Lewis from the audacitypodcast.com says the biggest causes for him is it's that gain button, the preamp. And so, that's where, again, it makes no sense, but I'll turn the gain down, but the channel volume up. So you just got to play and play and play. I have some people asking about PodClear, podclear.com. This was a service at Podcast Movement. I thought they were live. If somebody wants to go over there, let me see here. I'll type it in. This is a kind of a new service. It's not a new service. There are services like Ringer, RANGR.com. You can sign up. They have a sign up form, $8 a month for 4 sessions per month. And what's interesting about this, I played with this and, I got a demo and this is all browser based. So it's kind of interesting because they started off browser based and they're going to work themselves into an app. Ringer, RANGR.us, started out as an app that went from iOS to Android, and now they're working on a browser base. So in the end, and what these do is they record both you and your guest on separate, like on each device. Now, PodClear, I believe, said will go up to 9 people they've tested with, and it will give you all 10 files, 9 individual files and 1 with them mixed. So, they're live there. I have yet to play with them. I was involved with them very early on, so early that their demo just burst into flames. And I kind of went, call me when you guys are ready. And the demo I got at Podcast Movement was impressive. So I was like, okay. And Ringer is really great if you have somebody who's really super challenged and you're like, look, can you download an app on your phone? Yes. Okay, good. Then let's use Ringer. And then, Jim, I think you had mentioned some sort of new, it's TryCast.
Yeah, but it's TRYCA.ST.
Yeah.
I've seen this float across. I must have signed up for their beta somewhere along the line. We talk about these all the time. And we're talking about them in the show, I go in and sign up just so I don't forget, right?
Yeah.
And when you guys were coming back from Podcast Movement, I got a note, hey, we're in beta, it's working. And this is web-based. Same idea. You send a link, you sign in, you send a link to someone, it joins them in. I actually did this. I did a test with Mike Howard on this and we recorded it. Same idea. It records it on that end. I recorded it on this end. And then they have a web-based publisher. So you can go in there and edit it right there on the web and publish it out. Now, I haven't done much with it. I recorded a conversation between Mike and I, and then I got busy and I haven't come back to it. But wondering if anyone else has been using it or is in the beta, TRYCA.ST. TriCast is what they're calling it. They got some really nice designers to actually work on the site. It looks really good. I mean, I don't know how it functions, but it looks really, really, really good.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see as more and more of these come out because they're all kind of doing the same thing. So it's going to be a matter of like, okay, what are you going to do that's going to set you apart? Because otherwise, it's just going to become a giant, who's the cheapest. Who's got,
Well, it's the way it always is, right? And then they'll consolidate down. It'd be great. I think we'll have to see some video ones come out. That would be awesome to be able
imagine that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just can't imagine the bandwidth
that's charges what I was gonna say.
That those guys would incur for those kinds of things. So far, these are free. TriCast is free while it's in beta at this point. They're going to charge for it. So it's on its way. But, Jeff Bundy says blab.im. Yet another 4-box video broadcasting plus chat plus popularity site. I haven't heard of them. Blab, blab.im.
Yeah, Daniel in the chat room says PodClear could easily do a video version. That's going to be interesting. That will be very, very, very cool. So, hey, the one thing I keep forgetting to do is, we're at the halfway point. If you would like to support Ask the Podcast Coach, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And we have some supporters. We have Alan Lee from the School of Banking.com, Bob Harper from Dukes of Startup.com, Martha Elliott from Boomer's Next Chapter. That's a podcast that will be coming in the future. That's actually my caster mind. And then, are you ready? Who shelled out $20 a month to support Ask the Podcast Coach? We say his name every week. The one, the only, John Lee Dumas from EOFire.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Nicely done, John.
So I was like, all right, giving back to the community. So so thanks. If you would like to become an awesome supporter, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And you get Nick Suberling said, hey, buddy, I haven't been getting the after show stuff. So I need to double check and see what's going on with that. That's on my list of things to do today, because you get we do an after show, a little one after the show. And if you're here live, you get to hear it. But if you're not, you don't. So you can. It's a way to support the show. So thanks to all of our awesome supporters. And Jim, I know on, I think it was episode 224 of Your Average Guy Show, you did kind of a walkthrough.
Actually, so it was at the tail end. It was in the post show. This is where sometimes your post show content is a little bit better than your show content, right? I think we have that experience too sometimes. And I dropped the guest. I never do solo, you know, podcasts. I just don't. That's just what I don't do. And so I stayed on for a little bit, and I was talking to my audience about just junk. And all of a sudden, I started talking about my podcast and the way I produce it. Somebody asked a question in the chat room or something. I said, guys, let me tell you really what it takes me to put a podcast on. And so I kind of walk through, it's a 20-minute walkthrough of all the steps that I go through in the show notes. I kind of peel back the curtain, as you like to say, I kind of peel back the curtain and kind of give you all the steps that I go through to get a podcast from the recording. Cause that's the easy part. This is easy. Like what you and I are doing right now, this is the easy part of podcasting. Anybody could do this. It's, do you have the intestinal fortitude and the hustle to do all the post show production, write great show notes and get it published everywhere? And so if you go out to my site, theaverageguy.tv/, and then it's HGG for Home Gadget Geeks. That's what we did it. 224, HGG 224. It's just a walkthrough. And I think as this audience that listens to me here, all the other shows are all tech stuff. And if you're a tech guy, stay around. That's fine. If you want to listen to it, that's cool. But this one in particular might be very appropriate for podcasters as you're thinking about your own workflow. Again, not everybody does it this way, but this is the way I do it. I walk through it. Maybe you'll gain a few insights or learn something new in the process, and you can get it done.
Yeah. Oliver Banta in the chat room said, hey, Dave said that Castermind thing again. Any updates on that? And this was one of the reasons why we haven't talked about this on this show. Last Sunday night, I sent an email to Rick Calvert, who I have been working with on the new media show, New Media Expo. And I was the director of, that's the key point. I was the director of the New Media Expo, and just kind of looked at what's coming this year. My wife really, really, really wants to move, even if it's somewhere else in Cleveland. She's an empty nester, and so am I for that point. But it's really, at this point, affecting her deeply. I don't get it, because, you know, I love my stepkids, but it's hard. And so I think she just wants to get out of the house. Like, I don't want to be here where my kids aren't anymore. So I think that's one of the reasons why she wants to move. So I'm going to be moving. My middle stepdaughter is getting married in South Carolina. I don't know if you've ever been around a wedding. They're a little stressful. And
why is that? That should not be. This is the happiest day of your life. Yeah. And they're the most stressful things ever. It's terrible. It drives me crazy.
And one of the things that my wife pointed out, this is where wives come in handy, is I was talking about it and I'd sent some emails, and, you know, New Media Expo was starting to kind of slowly, the wheels were starting to grind forward. And she said, man, you're already stressed out and this thing hasn't even started yet. And I'm like, you know, I'm on the East Coast, Rick's on the West Coast. There are all sorts of weird little things that just make it a little harder than maybe it needs to be. And I just was like, I'm just not, you know, this could be cool. And, you know, it's the second year with NAB, so yeah. And she said, yeah, but you're really not, it doesn't sound like you're going to enjoy this. And I'm like, well, I'm probably not. And she goes, why are you doing it? And I'm like, well, for the money. And then she said, well, you seem to, I started a caster mind. It's just a very small group coaching thing. And I came out of that the other night, just bouncing off the walls. I'm like, this is so cool. And this is this. And, you know, and she goes, why don't you do more of those and less of that? And I went, and so I thought about it for a week and came up and said, yeah, I think I'm going to not do that anymore. So So, yeah, you will hear more about Caster Minds in the future. I want to kind of put some things in place, things like that, make sure I get the right people in there. That's really the bottom line for those that you want kind of people on the same. You know, I don't want somebody in there who has 400 episodes and somebody who's got four. On one hand, that person can learn them much, but the person that's got 400, you know, he has to be able to get, he or she needs to get something out of that. So I'm looking into that. I'm studying a lot on masterminds. And also trying to put it in a way, you know, Dave, I like to, somebody called me once the Walmart of podcasting. They always say I price my stuff too cheap.
Oh,
but I'm like, you know, I like to make things affordable. And as long as I can, you know, we're looking at some stuff. So yeah, I will keep you posted on that. Right now, if you go over to castermind.com, you can get on the waiting list. And,
Dave, I think you went through a process there that's super important for podcasters. So this evaluation process of what you really enjoy doing and what you don't enjoy doing. And, you know, I think that's a good check. If you're getting to this, if you're already starting to stress out about, you know, about New Media Expo, and God, we still have a lot of days until, right, they've moved that to August or to April. And, right, we got a lot of time. Then you just have to start checking your motives. You know, if you find yourself having a hard time getting behind the mic and producing your podcast, chances are you might be doing what you really love to do and talking about it. And I never get sick. I love tech. I never get sick of talking. I'll do that. I'd do 5 shows a week on those. I'd do 7 shows a week because I love talking about it. I think for you, right, that smaller, the more intimate groups, the really where you can have that really personal impact, I think is more engaging for you than these big, gigantic run around. And those conferences are super hard to put together, right? I mean, ask the guys that just did Podcast Movement. Although those guys are rocking it.
Oh, man.
I mean,
I got the banner to prove it.
I know. We need to bottle up whatever kind of teamwork, team collaboration they have going on. Because, man, just from the outside looking in, those guys are doing everything right. Well, it's crazy.
We're gonna pull back the curtain just a little bit. I'm on my phone. I get a little message pop up from Jared Easley, and he says, "I heard a rumor," right? And so I text him back, and I'm like, "Oh, it's not a rumor, buddy." And of course, in true Jared fashion, permission to call. And I'm like, you know, so I text him. He already knows my phone number, but he calls up. He goes, "Yeah, I heard you. You retired." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Is everything okay?" That's all. He wasn't like wanting to know like the details of why I did or whatever. He's like, "Is everything okay?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, man, it's every, you know, it's like, this is, it's kind of a weird thing, but, I see some people asking, is NMX going to kill the podcasting part of that?" I hope not. I really don't. As I said in my episode last week, I want NMX to go on. I want it to get bigger and badder and faster. And, you know, I actually have, you know, I know some people I think that would fit that. You need, what am I? I haven't done StrengthsFinder yet, Jim. I'm sorry.
Oh, Dave.
I know. But one of my strengths is not being assertive. I come from a customer service background. When you say no, I tend to believe you. And so one of the things that you do, it's really weird. When you go after, shall we say, big shot smarty pants people, it's weird how many of them do not respond, even like a no. Like, I will give credit to Adam Curry. I every year, "Hey, Adam, come on, buddy. You're Adam Curry. You got to come out and do a speech." Well, I now know from Podcast Movement, he doesn't like speaking in public. He doesn't really enjoy that. So I understand now why he said, you know, "No, I don't want to do it." But he always would say, "Hey," and I'd be like, "Come on, man, let me just interview you." And he's like, "No, I really appreciate it." Always very gracious, very just, "No, thank you." You know, and I would email other people and just, "No, not just nothing." So I would have to, I had a list of people. Let's bug these people again. And that's the problem. In my head, I'm bugging them. And that's, you can't have that mindset. You have to, you know, I'm giving them an opportunity to grow their audience and things like that. So it was just a lot of little things that were weird behind the scenes that I was just like, "Really? This is how this works?" "Yep. You got to just go bug them." And I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. You got to ask.
Yeah.
Right. Mike Phillips says no is the first step to yes.
Exactly. And
it is. I mean, you just have to ask. I'm in the middle of, you know, I schedule in big blocks. So I'll sit down over a weekend and I will do 16 weeks at a time. So anyways, we'll come back to that. It looks like we have a caller.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh," I looked up. I got so used to not having callers, I quit checking. So, my apologies for making you wait for 6 minutes. Holy cow. Dave, get on the stick here.
It's just because we're that popular.
That's it. Ending in 5557. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, this is Kim from OnTheTablePodcast.com.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What's going on?
Hello, Jim. I don't ever say hi to you. I feel bad.
That's okay, Kim. I have a big ego.
Okay. Well, you mentioned show notes, Jim, and if you have the passion, you'll make good show notes. And so I've, in the past 18 episodes, always done verbatim script. But I've been interviewing people, and the more I interview people, the more I realize that how we speak is not how we write. And reading these interviews, they sound like idiots. And so I don't want to do that anymore. But so now I don't know. What are good show notes?
Yeah, so I think of show notes for SEO purposes. And you kind of think you want to kind of boil it down to the essence. Actually, Dave doesn't give himself enough credit, but I think Dave does a really good job of summarizing the shows that he does. And when I say Dave, I mean this Dave Jackson across from me. He does a really good job of summarizing the content or the conversation when he's done a podcast, whether it's on Ask the Podcast Coach or for the School of Podcasting. And so I love his example. I still don't think I write enough words. I get links. I get, you know, the gist of things. I try to make mine a helpful place for people to come back to if links were mentioned in the podcast about things that they could come and easily just click on it. But you also want to get enough words in there for SEO. So I wouldn't go word for word. I think you're onto something here. That's maybe a little overkill and a lot of time. But sitting down and I've done this the last 5 weeks with my tech show, and I haven't done this in a long time, but I actually listen to the entire thing in real time and take notes as I go along. And that's totally changed the way I do my podcast. And I also that also keeps me from writing too much because I don't stop it. I can only write as much as I can get there. And so that keeps you from spending 3 hours writing the show notes. Dave, I think you do it really well. I don't think you give yourself enough credit for it. How are you going about it?
It varies from week to week, depending on time. If things have gone the way I want them to, I came up with a bullet point a week ago. During the week, I'll give you an example. My last episode, I wrote on the plane. I'm like, what are the things that I'm taking away from Podcast Movement? I took those, copied them into WordPress, and was like, okay, why did this stick with me? Okay, here's what I learned here. And then from there, I've now already kind of gone through almost twice what I'm really trying to say, trying to get down to that golden nugget of what are you going to hear and go, man, did you hear this? You know, Dave got to meet Mark Maron or, you know, whatever it was that I'm talking about that hopefully you're going to want to share with your audience. And so, I have people say, well, if I type too many show notes, well, then people will just read it. They won't listen to the podcast. And I'm like, but are they still getting value? If they're still getting value, then okay. All I want to do is give value. However, if you want to listen to it, fine. If you want to read it, Daniel J. Lewis is another guy that has phenomenal show notes. You almost don't need to listen to Daniel's show, which at times, if you're in a hurry, is kind of handy. And wait a minute, does that mean Daniel just helped me out by making me not listen to his show in a way? Yeah, and I appreciate that. So, you know, as long as you're delivering value, I know we did a thing a while back and we looked at some of the top bloggers and it was anywhere from like 700 to, I forget how many, you know, words per post. And that's, to me, again, a show should only be as long as it needs to be and not a bit more. So I just try to give a summary to kind of like, hey, here's what's in the show and hopefully entice you to click. But I also make sure, I always try to make any link that I mention, which is hard. That's the hard one when it like, you know, the 13-minute mark I mentioned, you know, like this one, we were talking about tricast.us. Well, I'm going to try to put that in the show notes because if the show notes, if my audience knows somebody mentioned it in the show and it's going to be in the show notes, then they'll know to come out to the website and they don't have to look for it. They don't have to search for it. It should be there. So I always try to make sure my show notes have value.
Kim, who's your audience and what's most important to them?
My audience is Toastmasters, which are people who are learning about public speaking and leadership skills.
And so, what do you think would be most helpful for them in your notes? I mean, as a Toastmaster yourself, what kind of content would you like to see in there?
Well, I am torn. I'm a very visual learner, and so I would rather read than listen. In fact, I don't ever listen to podcasts unless I'm in my car, because I'm going to read it far faster than you're going to say it.
Sure.
And I'll comprehend it better. So I understand that I'm not the only person in the world who, and probably a majority of people, prefer podcasts are going to be auditory.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that I just need to stop doing the full show notes because I like them doesn't mean that they're useful and it's not a good investment of my time.
No. I disagree with you. I totally disagree with you. I think if you like them, there are other people who like them as well.
Right.
And you should be careful not to just follow the crowd, right? This is where we talk about being unique. Nobody does what you do, right? And nobody types out full show notes. You are a very, very small select group of podcasters that do that. And there may be people in your audience that listen to it. Have you surveyed them to say, what do you think of our show notes? I'd like to know. Have you done that yet?
No, because the problem isn't based on what the audience does or doesn't want. It's based on the fact that we don't speak the way we write. And so when I interview somebody, especially somebody, and Dave will understand this, there's a Cleveland accent and a Cleveland way of speaking.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Doesn't translate well to the written word.
Yeah.
And so I've got these two people that I've done interviews with, and if I were to type out word for word what they'd say, you would think they were not even graduates from kindergarten.
No. Right on.
Because
totally.
Just
I totally
the way we
get you there.
Speak.
Yep.
Nothing against Dave. I know he's from Akron, so am I, so we don't have to deal with that particular little bias. But I can't put that text on that page. I just cannot.
Right.
Because what they say is good and powerful, but it's not coherent written. So I got to figure out how to do show notes for these interviews that I can't do that for.
Well, listen to what you talk. Like go back if you have your questions written out, and that's a whole other thing. But if you have your questions, you know, you can put those in the show notes. In this episode, we learned about, you know, their background, what they overcame. You know, they gave great tips on, you know, overcoming stage fright, whatever it is. You know, you might be able to build your show notes on what the questions were.
That's a great idea.
Can you build it around quotes, too? Because they probably, when we think, I mean, can you do the clamor idea, right? Which is, I bet in that conversation are 10 or 15 really memorable quotes. So you don't have to get everything. But you could pull the best quotes out and then summarize around those quotes. So allow people. I know, like in Simple Podcast Press, right? Hanny has built a way that you can go in and quote those, and then when it puts them in the show notes, they're tweetable.
Yeah.
And so, can you make those stand out in a way that your listeners can tweet those to promote the person who's on your podcast and make that part easy? So get the really good quotes, and then just summarize everything else.
I can do that. That's a real simple way to do it, and it will not take me a great deal of time, and it'll still appeal to the visual of me as opposed to the non-audio.
Yeah, so the other thing I do with show notes is I'm often doing them as I'm listening to my podcast. I'm done. So before I throw that baby up on Libsyn, I'm going to listen to it, hopefully, because it never fails. The time I don't is the time there's, you know, a 15-second blank spot in the middle of the show. Because you muted a track or something like that. So I always try to listen to it back, and that's where I was again. I'm listening now for, ooh, that was a good point. Ooh, that was good, or this and that. And I just type up a little sentence about that. Or, you know, so I'm always kind of tweaking the show notes. The one thing I started doing that just seems to make more sense, I type my show notes in WordPress and just save it as a draft rather than copying it from, you know, Google Docs or whatever. Now, in this last one, I started in Evernote because I was on the plane and I was like, I need something to take notes on. So I just fired up Evernote. But
Kim, does that help?
It helps a lot.
Awesome.
I got one more question.
Right,
anybody going to Pittsburgh for the pod camp?
That's going to be a game day decision for me. It really is. Going to depend on the mental health of my wife at the time. So what's going on? The good news is the stepson is back this week. He was homesick. And we thought we thought he came back to see us. He spent all day yesterday with a girl. And I'm like, oh, now I see why you're back. Okay. So I thought that was very cute. So
they do that. They do come back.
They do, yeah.
I have two college-age daughters back today. So
my guess is he also probably had to do laundry or something. I don't know. Who knows?
There is certainly something to say, yes, one of them does. The other one has a washer and dryer in her apartment. I think they just miss me and my food. That's what I tell myself.
That's it too. Yeah, that's another one. Because he did ask if Mom would be making spaghetti. So there you go. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I hope to see you in Pittsburgh.
I hope that you will be there, too, because I'm actually speaking there.
Oh, well, there you go. Now I got to go.
Oh, well, you don't have to go. Don't feel compelled. Just be compelled to get up another Cleveland podcast meetup soon.
Yes. Well, what is it, the third Tuesday of the month?
Third? Supposed to be.
Yeah. So we'll make that happen. We had to cancel the last one because of podcast movement and all sorts of other shenanigans. Yeah. So awesome. Okay. Have a good weekend.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ken. Guys. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I do want to point out something. I hate doing visual stuff on an audio show. I went to behind me. I have the banner from Podcast Movement that that's one of the things on the goal today. I hope by next weekend I'll have a completely new set for the show. But I went over to Office Max and they have these cool little plastic clippy doos that on the bottom have a wide clippy do. And I thought, oh, you know what? I have a drop ceiling in the office. I will clip this to the ceiling. That part worked. But these are made to basically like clip on to hold like a menu. Or right. Some piece of paper. And this is not strong enough to hold a vinyl banner. So it was $10 that I will be going back to Office Max and going, because I have a whole bag of these. I'm like, oh, cool. I can just, you know, string them out. But yeah.
I do like the banner in the back.
Yeah.
That's a good ad.
Yeah. So I want to get a banner for the School of Podcasting. And I want to take my whole office and just shift it this way. Because right now I'm in the corner and I want to make it.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to be
good to move things around every once in a while. Hey, I want to come back to these show notes concept real quick because there's some stuff, good stuff going on in chat.
Cool.
Andy Sokolovich says he actually uses Fiverr to have somebody go in and transcribe his audio for him. And it's $5 per 10 minutes is what for that. And I was actually on Andy's show. We talked about StrengthsFinder stuff on it. And as I look at his show notes for that show, I put the link in the chat room that's out there. And Davey, maybe you can grab that and put in the show notes for this show. But he does a nice job. If you look at his show notes, it's not transcribing the show, but it's getting all the important links and he's hitting all the points of all the things that we talked about in there. Now, in this particular show, it was a resources show. So I was going through all the resources that were available from Gallup that our coaches could take advantage of. And so he's listing those out. But somebody who's good and fast at that could do it a lot faster sometimes than even us. And so if you're not good at that from a show notes perspective, I think it's a great opportunity to Fiverr it and get that out there, get somebody else to do it and get it done. I think another technique too that I've used, and Dave, I think I got this from you maybe in this, is that I actually, when I'm doing show notes, I outline them first. So I kind of build them like an onion, you know, so I go to the core and then I wrap a layer and then I hit each one of those and then I go back and I just kind of add as I'm going down. And then I might dig in, I get to a spot and I have enough points to kind of dig in. So instead of writing them top to bottom, outline them, then fill in the outline, then fill in some text. And it's just another technique to help it. For those of us who get overwhelmed in writing show notes, it doesn't feel like we're trying to go from in the beginning was, you know, right. It was, you know, that kind of like I'm writing an epic novel in the first three sentences. And that's kind of overwhelming. Appeal it across, you know, core, fill in around the core, then fill in those sentences. I think that's another good way to go about show notes.
Yeah. Daniel in the chat says he tries to answer the question, what was that? So it might be something like, you know, what was that link? What was the guest? You know, the video, things like that. So like today, we've mentioned Ray Ortega's video on setting up your mixer. We've talked about talk. We've talked the show notes here are going to take a while from the show.
Well, they do, right? It's one of those kinds of things. I have a doc open when I'm doing my live show, and I try to grab as many of those as I can. Nice thing about Chatwing is if we put it in chat, you can go back and get the history of it, right? That's another tool to be able to use in your favor. So it is one of those. Mike Howard has a co-host, Tim Kemperly, who Tim's job is to take the show notes during the show. And he doesn't want to necessarily talk a lot. Tim's great. He's great at it. But his job is to capture those show notes during the show live. And that's another resource you can do. You can have a co-host. If they don't want to talk all the time, fine. Don't, you know, maybe they're become the show note, you know, specialist at that point. So there's another way of getting show notes done without you having to necessarily sit down and grind them out.
Yeah. When in doubt, ask your community. There, I've run into a few people that have done that, you know, they have moderators in Facebook or they have, you know, show notes or whatever. There may be somebody who, hey, I love to listen to your show anyway. Why don't I just take it and type up some notes for you? And
John's doing a little self pimping there in the chat room because he does that, right? Part of what he does is provides that as a service. And so there are people out there as well who are willing to do it for you. You're going to pay for it, but it's going to save you time. So that's one of those things, if you're not particularly good at it and you feel like it's important. In the same breath, I'll say, do you have to have show notes? If you don't have show notes, is someone going to punch you in the face? Thank you, Ryan K. Parker. Yes. Probably not.
Yeah, do I have that queued up? No, I don't. Oh, shame on me. It's probably on my Boss Jock.
Just to change the subject for a second. When you come up, think how much run Ryan K. Parker has gotten from podcasters, because I'm hearing other podcasters say this now on their podcasts in this community. Right, we begin to all talk like each other. Back in the day is another one that I hear. Amongst all the podcasts about podcasts I listen to, everybody, they'll say, well, back in the day, and then they'll try and imitate you, right? Think about that impact that you have when you're consistent. That's one of those things I hear you say that a lot. Every time you, almost every podcast, you throw a back in the day reference out now. And I think that's, it's just important to have that voice.
That's why I started doing it. It's not something I'm like, how am I going to say back in the day?
It just happened.
You do this enough, you're going, well, back in the day, it's like so. And yeah, speaking of Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. What do I have? I do have it muted. Oh, that was going to be so good. I love live.
No one will punch you in the face.
Right. There we go. So.
Oh, I thought John did show notes for people. I guess he doesn't.
No, John does. He'll do the audio editing for you.
Oh, that's what he does.
Yeah. So he's looking for somebody to do. So there is a guy, the show notes guy. That seemed
that's
to charge.
What I'm thinking of.
Yeah, he seemed to charge. In my opinion, I guess
it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
It's doing show notes is a lot of work. I mean, it's just I bet I spent 4 hours last night between video, audio, and show notes of getting 1 hour show done. And it's just because an hour of it's going to be taken up listening to the show, and I could listen to it faster. But I like to listen in real time. I don't like to speed it up, you know. So I take my video large feed, I throw it up on the screen, and I just go through and I take show notes as I go. And so far so good. And my show notes are still not exactly where I want them to be. I want mine to be like you. I want to be like you, Dave Jackson. What? Because you do a great job of it. I really like your show notes. When I go back and look at Ask the Podcast Coach or School of Podcasting, I like the way you do it. You really capture the essence of what we're trying to talk about and provide the links that necessary. I think you do those well. So if anybody's looking for a good example, in my opinion, I think you do it better than most.
Well, there you go. See, and I point to Daniel J. Lewis. So there's always going to be somebody better and somebody probably worse than you. And according to John Buchanan, the show notes guy charges $1 billion. That's a lot. Holy cow.
Is that like a Malaysian dollars? Is that like a... No, we'll stop at that.
Yeah. So, hey, if you want to squeak in a call, now would be the time. We're going to start... we're rounding third and head towards home. And this is where everybody starts calling. 347-850-8007. So you've been thinking, should I call? Should I call? Should I call? Yeah, you should. And that number again, 347-850-8007. So was Ryan K. Parker at Podcast Movement?
I don't think he was.
I'm going to say.
I don't think he was. And he's moved. You know, he's up
in Michigan
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, somebody said he might be at Podcast Mid-Atlantic.
I'm trying to get him back on my show. I had him scheduled for August, September timeframe, and he had to cancel on Home Gadget Geeks because he's kind of, I mean, he is a really gadget geek. He's great to have on your program. So I've been trying to get him back on. He canceled on me the last time. I just sent him a note begging him, Ryan, I want you back on the show. So I'm hoping to get him back on. Lots of things going on in his life, just kind of changing, changing locations and a lot of stuff going on. But that's one of those things. I just keep asking my guests. You know, we've had Addie on my program too. If you have a tech show, she is dynamite. By the way, if you're having trouble getting guests, you're not looking hard enough. In the community that's around you, there are so many good, like, other podcasters are the very first place that you look, right? And so if you're doing that interview thing, and I know lately we've been a little anti-interview. I've noticed that too. And I'm an interview guy, Dave Jackson. So stop being anti-interviewed. It's not you. But other podcasters are great. Look in the community. Look in this community. I mean, we've got 35 people in the chat room today, all of them most likely podcasters. I bet there are a few guests out there who'd love to come on your show.
Jordan Harbinger did a great talk at Podcast Movement. He's all about guarding his audience. And because I've had a couple people that I either got my card at Podcast Movement or something, they're like, I think I would be a great guest. And the answer you need to send back to them is why. And they even send me a list of like, I can inspire people. I can, and I'm like, okay, how does that fit into like what I do, or like, how's my audience going to benefit from that? And that is something that I think it's a Podcast Movement thing, just from people picking up cards here and there. That I had a bunch of those this week where like, I think I'd be a great guest. And I'm kind of like, and I'm not like anti new. I'm just, I don't know you. It's kind of weird to say hi.
It's that balance, right? It's that weird balance. Like we talked about this a ways back. The best guest is the one you have to go after.
Yeah.
Not always the one who asks you. Now that's not always true. I mean, that is not always true. So I hate to do a blanket statement on that. But pursue some, right, that are out there. Listen to their show. This is, you get a perfect opportunity to audition them before they've even been on. And yet at the same time, Dave, if you got an aspiring new podcaster who is just anxious to get the word out about his podcast and stuff, make him send you a mixtape of his best stuff, right? Well, say, hey, all right, send me an audition tape. I want to hear what you got to say. So
that's what that's what Jordan said. He said, basically, what are you going to say that's going to benefit my audience in an audio format? And he did a whole thing about if somebody, he tells them up front, this is not a place to pimp your stuff. And if we're going to do that, it's going to be at the end. And there might be a chance for you to do that. He also tells them this might not air. He goes, we're going to do this. Yeah. But he goes through a whole thing. Like he has like a pre-interview. I don't go that length. But I thought it was interesting to say this might not air, because there are those times when you interview someone, you go, how am I going to turn that into a nugget? You know, it's,
Well, you get the opportunity if you have a bad interview that, or it doesn't work, or it's really choppy or whatever, chop that thing up and do kind of that NPR style thing, right? Where you then talk about it and bring in the memorable quotes, kind of like what we talked about with Kim. Do you need all the text? No. Do you need all the interview? No. Bring it in. You do this on School Podcasting from time to time. Hey, let's just listen to a little snippet. He said this, boom, then come back in with some commentary. And then come back in with the interview, and then come back in with some commentary.
I listened to the guy I'm consulting with today, listening to his podcast, and he asked a guest something and she answered no, and then explained for a long time why she doesn't do this. And it was a fairly long answer that in the end gave like zero value. The answer was no, I don't do that. And there wasn't, I just thought, you know, I'd probably pull that out. I always listen for no's when I'm editing my show, because if somebody says no, I don't do that, then you know, there are times when that's helpful and times when it's not, but that's usually a key for me that,
We're talking in chat a little bit about having a co-host versus interview, you know, so you have a solo podcaster who's doing an interview. It's two people. It's that format every time. That's one way. I have a solid co-host. So in my tech podcast, it's always me and I've had a couple of them. They're on every week with me. So it's always the two of us. And then we're interviewing someone else. And so that has been a format that has worked really well for me. So I have some consistency. In the case of what's going to come out this week on my show, Alex Gates is a software developer, and he's going to come on and talk about some of the projects he's worked on. So we did him. We interviewed him for about 45, 50 minutes. He dropped off, and then we did some community stuff at the end. Mike and I did. And so that's kind of a hybrid format that would that might work for you.
All right. Well, what we're going to do, this is going to be interesting. We're going to roll the music. We do have a caller. The caller is going to be on the post show.
Oh, nice.
So we're gonna go ahead and say thank you to the chat room. So ending in 0410, we'll get to you in just a second. It's that whole adding value to the post show, I guess. We're on a roll today. You know what I mean? It's like we got a lot of good questions going on today. And so we are here every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And of course, if you're listening to this and go, oh, I can't make the live show, askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes. We'll get you over to iTunes where you can rate and review and subscribe and all that other fun-filled stuff. But, I got all sorts of things I was just thinking about. We could talk about Sarah Koenig's speech at Podcast Movement, because she did a little shenanigans there. But it's great to be back, and great to be back with the chat room. That's the other thing that was really weird about last week. Here I was at Podcast Movement, you know, basically using my phone to connect with you. I think I was no chat room. I couldn't see the chat room. And I really, like, I missed my chat room. Where's my Saturday chat room buddies? So that was kind of cool. Jim, anything coming up this week on TheAverageGuy.tv?
What I do? Yeah, TheAverageGuy.tv. So, yeah, we just all kinds of interviews. Actually, we're going to be interviewing Amber Gott from LastPass. And so nice. If you're a password, you know, if you have trouble managing all those passwords that you have, LastPass does that for you. They had a breach, and so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. And Monday's School of Podcasting, I'm interviewing Glenn the Geek from HorseRadioNetwork.com. This is a guy that's making a living with his podcast, could care less about new and noteworthy, could care less about return on investment. It's all about giving value to your audience. I found the guy at Podcast Movement. I said, you have to come on my show or I'm going to throw myself off the ledge. And he was very nice. He made time. He was going on vacation and doing some stuff. He's like, dude, let's do it this time. And I'm like, I'm there. So I'm looking forward to editing that when we get done today. So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.